Blog Talk Radio.
The Pittsburgh Penguins are pleased to select
Marc-Andre Fleury,
Evgeny Malkin,
Sidney Crosby,
Jordan Staal,
Simon Dupre,
Bo Bennett, Joe Morrow.
You're following the road to the 2012 NHL Draft right here on the Penn Nation Radio Show with Nick Richter.
I do see the benefit of drafting the best available position or the best available player in the draft.
Andy Hughes.
He was on the first power play unit as well, and he was a good shot from the point. I like that. I like that a lot.
Ashley Langlois.
In terms of what he's going to actually bring to the team, I guess time will tell. So, you know, it's got the potential to pan out to be something really good.
Ken Will.
I think it's almost just as risky, if not more risky, to take a defenseman who needs to work on skating or anything like that. That's such a fine skill for the National Hockey League. It's such, I mean, that's a game breaker for whether or not you're an NHL player or whether you're in the NHL or anywhere else.
And Joe Depto.
This guy did a nice job in the postseason. It's a pretty high-pressure situation. I do think that is encouraging. The other thing that I think is very encouraging about this pick is that it kind of gives you a little bit more of options as time goes on down the line.
Yes, you can call into the hotline at 347-202-0344. Now, on to the show. Good evening, hockey fans, and welcome to Draft Week 2012 right here on the Pens Nation Radio Show as we are just 4 days away from the first round of the 2012 NHL Draft right here in the beautiful city of Pittsburgh at the Consol Energy Center. We thank you for joining us tonight as we'll be on the air all week long to preview this special event in Penguins history. I'm Andy Hughes, and I am joined once again by my great co-hosts Nick Richter, Ken Will, Joe Depto, and Ashley Langlois. But we do have another guest tonight we would really like to welcome to the program. Very happy to have him on. He was the Penguins' first-round pick last year at the draft in Minnesota and just finished up another fantastic season with the Portland Winterhawks of the WHL. We are pleased to welcome Mr. Joe Morrow to the Pens Nation Radio Show. Joe, thanks again for coming on. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Well, no problem at all. We're thrilled to have you on, and here we are, 4 days away from the NHL draft. I'm assuming that you have a pretty different perspective this time around. You'll be able to watch it instead of kind of going through all those nerves on draft day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, last year I got to experience the whole thing, and the year before that I had a bunch of friends go through it. Now I know, you know, a bunch of young kids that are going through it this year. So definitely a different perspective. I mean, I would have loved it to be this year and for me to be in Pittsburgh and have that opportunity to spend it there with the way things went last year. But yeah, it's an exciting time.
So, I mean, we're days away here now, and you're a year removed. What's it like to be there kind of leading up to it that week before? What were your emotions kind of like, and what was going through your mind at that time?
It's a bunch of mixed emotions. I mean, me personally, I tried not to let it get to me, and I tried to enjoy my time in Minnesota with my family and, you know, just kind of, you know, take my mind off things, and my family being there was a huge part of it. But, yeah, it's not fun once there's all those people in the stands and, you know, you're waiting for your name to get called and you don't know, you know, whether you're going to be in the first round and sit there through a full day and be in the second round. It's fun, but it's not fun at the same time. I mean, I was fortunate to be picked by the Penguins and, you know, I wouldn't have it any other way.
So what was going through your mind when you got drafted in the 23rd spot by the Pens? Did you expect it? Did you not expect it? Or did you, like, kind of talk about that a little bit?
Well, I mean, the whole hype of everything was that the Oilers were going to pick me at 19 and that a hometown kid would be able to, you know, kind of give their thing there. So once 19 passed by, I got a little worried and 20, but, you know, my hopes were high for Pittsburgh, and the interviews I had with them really kind of pushed me towards that they believed that I'd fit in their system well. And in the back of my mind, I was really hoping that I could be part of that organization. And when 23 came around, I, you know, sat there sweating profusely as usual. So it was exciting. I mean, once your name was called and everything was over, all your bad emotions and nervousness just flooded out of your body, and you got to walk up on stage and throw that jersey on. And it's an experience that I'll never forget.
Now, Joe, getting sort of away from the Penguins here, this past season you spent another season with the Portland Winterhawks, the WHL. Talk about how that organization has really helped you develop your game. I know a lot of great players have come out of that organization, and you seem to improve every year, so it seems to be like you're getting more comfortable there in Portland.
Absolutely. It's like a second home to me. I mean, the Billet family that I had there made it made me realize that, you know, home's not too far away, and that they'd love me just like my parents did, and that made me feel real comfortable in that situation. And being there for 4 years and getting to know the city and playing hockey with the same guys for, you know, quite a long period of time and being with the same coaching staff really gives you a good mindset going into each game, knowing that, you know, you'll know what they have to say about you and they know what you want to improve on. But yeah, confidence is a huge thing in hockey, and being there 4 years in such a great city and such a fantastic organization where they actually care about you and, you know, care where you're going and do everything they can to, you know, promote you really made me, you know, a confident person and really helped me grow as a hockey player too.
Joe, you were talking about confidence and you know, kind of building that aspect of your game up. Last year when you know, we're in the preseason with the big club and you were around those guys, what kind of influence did that have on you as a personality? What you know, part of that rubbed off on you? Because I got to be honest, you looked really, really good out there. Like, you fit right in with the big boys. I was really, really impressed to see a guy, you know, just come right in and look good like that. How did you pull that off, and what kind of influence did those guys have on you?
Well, first of all, thank you, but those guys around me, I don't know, just being around all those high-caliber hockey players and being treated like part of the team when I was there, I mean, they welcomed me in. No guys were, you know, kind of, you know, hard to open up to. They were all extremely nice and, you know, happy all the time, and they're enjoying their life, and I just wanted to be a part of that. And being comfortable in that situation gave me a lot of confidence, too, and, you know, I was so excited to be there that I didn't have any room left in my body to be nervous. And I just, you know, I was excited to go out and practice, and I was excited to get in the rink and, you know, put that uniform on. And that was just, you know, it's a huge part for me to be able to not be nervous. And then that confidence can come easily, and you know, playing well will just kind of build that. And I just, you know, I kind of was too excited to be anything else but, you know, confident up there. And it really, really helped me, especially with those guys.
Yeah, you turned a lot of heads in your first training camp with the Pens, and a lot of fans really didn't know what to expect, I guess, and I think you far exceeded their expectations in your first year. So that's a great starting point in bringing new fans along to kind of support you there, which is awesome. Do you feel, at this point in your career, do you feel NHL ready yet, or do you feel you still need a few more years of seasoning?
I mean, personally, I'd love to think that I was NHL ready. I mean, I'm gonna think in my mind that I'm NHL ready until someone tells me otherwise.
Great attitude.
Yeah, that's the only way I can really go into it. I can't give you a yes or a no answer to that. I'm just gonna, you know, come into camp for my second time around and hopefully feel even more comfortable than I did last year, and hopefully try and solidify a spot. And if they don't think it'll work out this year, I can go wherever they want me to, and you know, I'm happy with that. But until then, I'm going to shoot for the stars and just wait until, you know, I get a word from somebody else that says you're not ready yet or something like that. But until then, I'm excited to see what I can do.
Yeah, that's definitely the best attitude to have. And getting back to training camp last year, you got a chance to play a little bit with guys like Chris Letang and all the defensive corps on the Penguins here, like Paul Martin, Zdeněk Mihalík, Orpik Letang, both Stanley Cup champions. And I really remember your first goal in the preseason was a great goal. You and Letang switched the points for a one-timer. How big of a moment was that for you just to do that at the Consol Energy Center in front of all of those screaming fans?
If I had a word to describe it, I'd tell you, but I mean, that it was so unbelievable, just to, especially at home there, and you know, to be able to call that my home building too, and to score in front of those people, and even to be given the opportunity from the coaching staff to be on the power play with those guys was incredible, and you know, I just did my best to try and fit in, and it worked out for me, and you know, hopefully I got a couple fans from that, and they remember me, so I mean, that's all I can do.
Yeah, Joe, going back just a little bit, talking about the mindset of a prospect who's coming along and developing into the system, you're obviously aware of what the organization has on defense and what the depth chart is and those sorts of things. Is it at all helpful or even healthy to forecast, you know, what potential rosters are because of that depth chart coming up in the future? Or is that completely out of your mind? You're just focused on Joe Morrow right now.
Yeah, I just kind of focus on, you know, doing things on my own and trying to improve by myself. And I don't really worry about the people around me, but I've noticed that the Penguins depth chart is pretty thick on defense and that, you know, it's not going to be easy coming to camp and trying to push guys out of their position, but it's something, I don't know, it's just like a business in hockey. I mean, if someone's better, fit for the job, they're going to get that opportunity and hopefully I can be one of those guys, but there's no really thought process to it with me. I just kind of come in and I do what I can do, and if they like me, they do. If they don't, I can try and change to make, you know, adjustments to fit into their, you know, their perspective of me. But other than that, I mean, I don't let any of those ratings or anything else, you know, kind of sway my judgment. I mean, everybody has their little blogs and they have their little, you know, predictions, and everyone has their opinions. But, I mean, in the end, it's only the opinions of the brass and the Penguins organization and the coaches that matter. So until they come up with something like that, that's what I'm going to pay attention to.
Joe, let's play NHL scout for a minute. Talk about, you know, you yourself and as a hockey player. What is your biggest strength and what is your biggest weakness that you still need to work on in your game?
I mean, I'd say I'm a pretty elite skater for, you know, my group of people, and even in the NHL, I think I can keep up with some of those guys, which is good, because that's kind of what the game's changing into, is a really mobile group of people on the ice, and there's you know, not many of those extremely big tough guys for intimidation left, but you know, they're still there. But yeah, just skating and I think my hockey sense and shot, just little things like that can kind of bring me up to an NHL standard. But I know I have to work on my defensive game and kind of think the game a little better positionally and in a defensive end, but I've been working at that for the last couple of years and I think I made improvements. So I mean, as long as I'm improving every day, I'm not really too concerned about other things like that. But I just try to improve and try and, you know, stay confident and things like that. So I'd say defensive game is the most thing that I need to work on.
Now, to get into the 2012 draft here in Pittsburgh, you actually have a teammate, Derek Pouliot, fellow defenseman who you've played with. And, you know, we see all these scouting reports from all these scouts. I think that you would have the best scouting report. You've seen him play. You've seen him in the locker room. And you've seen him places where some of these scouts may not have seen him. How great do you think Derek is? And where do you think he's going to get drafted here? What number, you think, in the first round?
That's tough to say which number. But, I mean, people are asking me the same question. And I'm sure they ask other people about me. But, you know, he's a phenomenal hockey player. I mean, his offensive upside is just through the roof. I mean, the kid could play forward if he wanted to, if he didn't want to play defense. He's just got a great sense for, you know, being in the offensive zone, and he's got a good set of hands on him, and he can shoot the puck, and he's a smart hockey player and, you know, a smooth skater. He's a good full package. I mean, once he kind of matures and grows up a little and gets a little more mental aspect to his game, he'll be a fantastic player. You know, I believe he'll play in the NHL one day for sure. He's just, he's got a lot of upside to him, and, you know, he's a good kid too.
Joe, before the show started, we were talking a little bit about, you're kind of really in the family and you're spending some time this off season with your family back home. And, your brother, Josh, was drafted in the 7th round from the Nashville Predators when Ray Shiro was an assistant general manager there. Did he give you any insight on what it was like to kind of work with Ray?
I mean, my brother just said that, you know, he kind of knows our bloodlines, and he picked my brother for a reason, he picked me for a reason. But I don't think the time that my brother spent, you know, with the Nashville organization, I don't think he got to know Ray Shiro very well. But I mean, he just said to, you know, keep doing what you're doing. He kind of, you know, paved the way for me, and I got to see what he went through and everything. So he just, you know, he's always got my back. That's what he does.
Joe, I lived out west for a little while back in the fall, and I had the pleasure of seeing you play live. And one of the things I really noticed that you are just superb at is your instincts. You just always seem to know your positioning. You just always seem to have, you know, some guys you just watch them play, and you just know this guy is going to be a very good hockey player because of their hockey IQ. Where does that come from? I mean, is it something that you're just kind of born with it, or is it instinctual? I mean, where do you learn something like that?
It's got to be in genetics. I mean, it's got to be something that I was just born with, coming down from, you know, my grandparents and my dad and uncles and brothers. So every single one of those guys has always played hockey, and hockey's been in my bloodline. So, I mean, there's shifts that I go out and I'll have a fantastic shift and come back to the bench, and the coach will say, you know, good job on this play or that play, and I won't even remember what happened out there. I kind of just blacked out, and, you know, the mind took over and did what it was supposed to do. I don't really have to think what I do out there. It just kind of comes naturally to me, which is, you know, it's a huge plus that, you know, I don't have to study the game as much. It just kind of was in my bloodlines, and I enjoy it.
All right, Joe, let's play a little game here. Kind of, who are you more like? What kind of game do you kind of more compare yourself to, Paul Martin or Chris Letang?
I definitely have to say Chris Letang.
All right, we're going to keep this Pens related here, too. So, Paul Coffey or Alfie Samuelson?
I'd say Paul Coffey.
All right, Larry Murphy or Joseph Melikar?
You're going back a ways here. I'm
reaching back, yeah.
You know what? I haven't seen either of those guys play, so you can pick one for me.
Such a young guy here. Such a young pup.
Well, Joe, you have a we use Twitter a lot, and we know that you're on Twitter now. And I wanted to say, hey, who got you started into Twitter, and how you like it so far? Because a lot of athletes, they have Twitter, and you know they don't tweet much, but you seem to be having some fun with it. Am I right about that?
Yeah, no. I mean, I think everybody. I was the last person to get Twitter out of all my friends and everybody on the Winterhawks. I just, you know, those buses get lonely, and you got to do something. So, I mean, I thought I'd join it. I didn't really think anything of it, but, you know, I try to give the Penguins a good name from it and not try and be an idiot on there, but, no, I try and have fun with it, too.
So, do you have, speaking of all your buddies and stuff, hockey, very steeped in tradition of the hockey nickname. What do you got? What's your hockey nickname?
Yeah, well, I actually don't have one. You know,
oh,
people just call me
wow.
By my name, but hopefully I can develop one here soon, but, hopefully.
So maybe we can have a big part of that. Maybe the Pens Nation could kind of dub you, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't even know what we could – I'm not good at this nickname thing. Depto, what do you got?
that's a good question. I suppose I should be the authority on this since we're both Joes here, but I don't know. I don't know. As long as he keeps playing as well as he is, that's all I'm worried about here. He looks real good out there. I don't want to throw him off with some bad nickname or something like that.
Well, Joe, we really appreciate you having on. And before you go, we were wondering if you could do a little show plug for us. We like to have a lot of our guests do this, where you could say, like, "Hi, this is Joe Morrow. You're listening to the Pens Nation Radio Show." Would you be willing to do that for us?
Absolutely.
You can go ahead whenever you'd like.
Hey, this is Joe Morrow, and you're listening to the Pens Nation.
All right. Thank you, Joe, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon. Best of luck this upcoming season, and hopefully we'll see you in Pittsburgh soon.
Yeah, my pleasure. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, Joe.
No problem.
That was Joe Morrow, the Penguins' first-round draft pick last year. And, boy, you know, we've seen him play. He sounds like a pretty good guy, too.
Yeah, I definitely would agree with that. I mean, sounds like he has just a fantastic attitude for a kid his age. A lot of confidence in himself. That's that's such an important thing, you know, for guys his age, because, you know, players that are young and they are often, you know, if they're insecure of their abilities or, you know, they don't know really their place in the organization or they don't really have an understanding of the way pro hockey works, sometimes they can kind of get caught off guard as they progress through their career. So I came away really impressed with him as a person, and I think we're all really impressed with him as a player and what he can do on the ice as well.
Yeah, I was really impressed with how mature he is and just how he conducts himself on interviews. And I was just kind of scouting back just a couple years and just watching him through the draft and the interviews he conducted then. And just afterwards, last summer, Steve Mears interviewed him for Pens TV. And he's polished, man. He's the real deal, and I think he's got a great head on his shoulders, and I think he's got a long NHL career ahead of him.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see him up here because, you know, there's – you know, you got Simone Dupre and Morrow, but, man, watching Morrow last year, it was something special. And like you were saying, Nick, earlier, something we weren't really expecting. And a lot of guys, you know, a lot of fans were kind of skeptical when the Penguins drafted him last year. But that doesn't appear to be the case anymore after what they saw last training camp. It'll be interesting to see what this training camp is because he actually had better stats this year with Portland. So it'll be interesting to see how he does after another great season in Portland, in addition to that experience he got with the Penguins last season.
Well, so one of the things that I really noticed about Joe is, you know, like I asked him, I watched him play out in Portland last year in the fall, and I'm watching this game, and you know, sometimes when you watch junior hockey, some of the guys, you know, they're very talented players. They really are, especially for their age. But sometimes the positioning is a little off. Sometimes guys have to really learn, you know, kind of where to be at certain moments in the game. And I'm sitting there and I'm watching Joe play, and I swear to you, the guy was not out of position once throughout the entire game. So when he comes in the preseason like he did last year in Pittsburgh and just looks rock solid, that's no fluke. And this guy is not going anywhere. I would not be surprised if this time next year we're already talking about Joe Morrow being, you know, cracking the NHL roster here in Pittsburgh, and not only doing so, but looking good in the process.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely some exciting times here, and 4 days away from the draft. So a lot of buzz, a lot of cool events happening around the city in addition to the draft. I think what the four top prospects are playing a deck hockey game on the Clemente Bridge. They're taking batting practice with the Pirates, and I think it's kind of cool the Penguins are doing that. They're kind of showing some of the top prospects around the city and kind of showing it off a bit and getting involved with the Pirates and Steelers. I think Kevin Colbert is going to be speaking with them, director of football operations with the Steelers. So it's going to be a great fun weekend, and one that I'm really looking forward to, and I'm sure a lot of people in Pittsburgh are. So good to see the Penguins are kind of embracing the event, making it more than just a draft, kind of like a hockey show in a sense. And, you know, not only on Friday and Saturday, the days of the draft, but leading up to it. And well, that's where we're on the air too. We're trying to lead up to it. So stay tuned to us all week as we're going to have some more guests, some giveaways too. But if you'd like to call in, the number is 347-202-0344. We're going to be on the air live here for another about 36 minutes. So have plenty of time to call in, whatever you'd like to ask. There's been a lot of rumors about Crosby, Staal, you name it. It's been plenty of rumors. I think that's one of the other interesting dynamics of this draft. I mean, not only, in particular, a lot of defensemen, a lot of good defensemen in this draft, pretty deep at the defense position. But then, you know, you think of the other storylines of all the names that could be moved, the NHL names, like, you know, Rick Nash, Luongo. I mean, there's Ryan Suter, Zach Parise. All these guys, their rights or the player themselves could be moved at the draft. So I think that kind of has an additional storyline in addition to all of the great prospects that are going to be selected here on Friday.
Yeah, it definitely seems like a lot of teams may go the route of trying to better their team for next season via trade instead of through the draft this year. And it's just kind of a hunch from my perspective, but I mean, there are a lot of names on that market right now that could provide a lot of help to some of these teams out there.
Well, something to really keep in mind as we move forward with this, you know, the CBA and all this sort of thing, is that you take a look, and I know we always kind of like to refer to July 1st as Hockey Christmas and whatnot, but if you take away, you know, you look at kind of the UFAs that are the top point getters from last year, if you take away Zach Parise and Ray Whitney, who had 77 points in 82 games last year and could potentially retire, your top guy is P.A. Parenteau. Your number two guy is Olli Jokinen. Your number three guy is Alex Semin, and then four is Jager. So, I mean, Steve Sullivan is six on that list. So my point is that free agency, this isn't the kind of year where you're going to be able to come in free agency and really add the major pieces that are going to put you over the top. But you take a look at the guys who could potentially move on the trade market, Rick Nash, Roberto Luongo, the rights to Ryan Suter, the rights to Zach Parise, these type of guys, that is the type of move that can completely change the face of your roster and really have a major impact on, you know, your team moving forward, not only this year, but later years. So I think that the trade is going to be the bigger catalyst for substantial roster moves in the immediate situation for teams rather than a free agent signing like it was in the past.
Yeah, well, we do actually have a caller on the air. So, caller, tell us your name and where you are from.
Hi, I'm Ariel Noonan, and I'm from Florida.
Hey, what's going on, Ariel?
Hi. I just wanted to say I miss you guys, and I can't wait for the NHL awards on Wednesday and then also the trade. I wish I was up in Pittsburgh.
It's going to be a fun time for sure, and we're all looking forward to it. Yeah, but it's a shame that you can't go. It's going to be a lot of fun, but I'm sure you'll be watching everything and, you know, following Twitter, everything like that. And that's why we're having these shows. And speaking of that, like we may have some giveaways during the week if you're not going to the draft. So please stay tuned to that because we're going to be on the air Monday through Friday, 10 o'clock. And like I said earlier, we'll have some guests too. So stay tuned to our Twitter, and that's where we'll be breaking that news. But thanks for
the
call.
I guarantee you the reason she was looking forward to the NHL Awards is because Nickelback is playing and she's a huge Nickelback fan.
I knew it was coming.
I think we're all I think we're all at that point, right? I mean, I think we all want to see Nickelback play live. I mean, they are the official favorite band of the Penns Nation Radio Show, right?
This is where you're supposed to play
the crickets.
Yeah, that's what I was intentionally going for here.
Come on, producer.
There you go.
Top of your game.
Good job.
The soundboard is just way too cluttered right now.
Yeah, the soundboard's right. It's getting straightened this week.
Or it's a little rusty today.
No, she's right, though. Like, what an awesome time to be in Pittsburgh right now. The Buccos are battling for first place. You got the NHL draft and just everything that's coming with that. And the Pens are seemingly knocking this out of the park right now. They just have a ton going on this week leading up. And we touched on some of it earlier with just some of the stuff on the Clemente Bridge and meeting up with the Steelers and all that stuff with the top four picks. And just the synthetic ice rink that they kind of have right outside across the street from the Continental Energy Center. It's a big atmosphere kind of in the middle of the summer. And yeah, this is kind of the dog days of hockey right here is where there's not a lot going on, but at least in Pittsburgh this year, there's something going on in late June. So it's good to see.
Yeah, it's definitely been a lot of fun to follow this, you know, going on with Console and sort of the evolution that it's had. And just the overall amount of events that's brought in, it's very exciting stuff. And you know, it's ironic that Pittsburgh was, you know, chosen this year to when you could not only see, you know, this could be a really deep draft, but not only that, you could really see a lot of active movements like we were just talking about. Even if you are not up to date with, you know, kind of the intangibles of all of these prospects, this is still one of those drafts that you just cannot miss if you're an NHL fan because that first round, you have no clue what's going to happen. There could be so many potential trades, even stuff that dating back to this trade deadline with guys like even a Bobby Ryan or a name like that thrown in. Nothing would surprise me at this point.
Yeah. Yeah, and speaking of the draft, to go to thepensnation.com. We've been previewing a prospect for the, well, I don't know when I started it, but whatever the 30-day mark was, It's been
you're at 26 days right now.
30 prospects.
Simple math, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Clearly, I've been out of school for a little bit, a little rusty. But
but no, Andy's been doing a bang up job on those. Those give you good insight, I think, on probably the top 30 guys in this draft class. So he's been knocking it out of the park every day.
That's what I've been trying to do, trying to get the top 30, because it actually helps. Because last year when the Pens drafted Morrow, I had to research a little bit after he was picked, but now I feel like I'm more prepared this year. You know, like I feel like I'll remember stuff about each of these players. So definitely check them out. It's a lot of research and stuff, but it's fun to do, and I like to do that. So after the draft, take a look at the Pens free agents as we'll get closer to July 1st, which is always interesting. And last year will be a tough act to follow, that's for sure.
Yeah, if you're reading those draft prospect previews that Andy's been putting up, you too can be doing the same thing Andy Hughes will be doing at draft day when the player's name is called. He'll be just shouting random facts about him from from the floor.
He went to this school. <He'll> be like,
he went to St. Mary's for 35 goals.
105 pounds.
He loves shells and cheese.
His mother makes a mean meatloaf.
There are a lot of good stories in this draft. A lot of good prospects. Mainly, like I said, a lot of good defensemen. A lot of intriguing guys, and even some of the forwards. There's some great stories out there. Some that have. There's actually one guy, Alex Galchenyuk. The guy that I wrote about today, he actually did not. He only played in two regular season games this year, but he's among the top four prospects ranked simply because of his year last year. And he plays with the Sarnia Sting, like No Yakupov. Had a great year last year, but had a knee surgery in preseason and missed all but the last two games, and then played in six playoff games. So it'll be interesting to see where he goes, because you're kind of basing it off of last year's performance, and you really don't know how that knee is going to hold up. So there's a lot of good stories, and that's, you know, there's just so much going on, like we were all saying. It's going to be a really fun week here.
There's also a lot of names that are incredibly difficult to pronounce.
Yeah, that's true. There are a lot of crazy names. That's right. Like Zemgus Gergensons. Man, there's a
We have to do like a top draft.
Draft name.
Name
top draft
kind
name.
Of thing. Yeah.
Greg Genko.
Some really crazy ones.
And another Samuelson.
Can't wait to hear. Yeah, Henrik, another one of Alfie's boys there. That's back-to-back years or 2 years between? There's 2 years between, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, because Philip was 9. Or was he
09? Second round, 09.
Yeah.
Or it's been a few years, yeah.
Yeah, and then you have a guy, Michael Hauser. He's a goaltender from Wexford, PA. So it's another local guy. There were more locals last year, I think. When JT Miller went, I think, 15th, the Rangers, something like that. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, there are a lot of like really top prospects last year from Pittsburgh. This year it's a little more spread out than it was last year. Last year it seemed like all four or five of those guys are
solid,
in the top 100, you know. So you heard a lot about those Pittsburgh guys, and that would have been amazing if the draft was in Pittsburgh last year for those guys. A little short change maybe for the traveling, kind of finding a new place to kind of have fun at, but I think for family and all that stuff, that would have been a really special moment for those guys.
Yeah, there's a lot of great players. It's going to be interesting to see because Neil Yakupov is the clear number one guy. We're not sure if the Oilers are actually going to take him or not. Some people said that Yakupov will be number one, but they're not sure if the Oilers will take him. I mean, if I'm the Oilers, I'm definitely taking him. But, Nick, we were kind of talking about this earlier. The guy, there's no question, the guy has skill, talent, and everything. But – you know, I don't know. Sometimes some people think his head may not be on straight. Some problems there. But you're
no Joe Morrow.
Yeah, no, that's for sure. He's no Joe Morrow. But if you're the Oilers, I mean, I feel you got to take the guy. I think you got to take a chance on him. Given the way, I mean, they have a ton. I actually thought when the Penguins played the Oilers this past year, I really thought that the Oilers' power play was pretty good. Really young, obviously. Maybe they may not be NHL ready, but there was plenty of skill in there, and adding Yakupov would certainly help that, because if you look at his highlight reel, I mean, man, it's just, it's crazy. It's really, he looks like a real, really exciting guy to watch, and I think Edmonton could certainly use that. Actually, Columbus could probably use him the most.
Yeah.
They really need somebody.
What a blow to their team.
They really need to put fans in the seats in Columbus. So that would, and that wasn't meaning to bash Columbus there, but
yeah.
You know,
if I'm the GM for Edmonton, I'm stockpiling these forwards like Shiro stockpiling defensemen right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, great trade asset. They've got a huge, they just have a plethora of young, fast, talented, skilled guys up front, and eventually that's gonna, I mean, kind of wear thin on them, and they'll need to get some guys on the back end on the blue line. But what better trade bait than a guy like Neil Yakupov right now, or Jordan Eberle, or any of those guys that they've drafted in the top 20 in the past 7 years or so?
Yeah, I mean, you take a look at Edmonton's roster, and next year you have both Taylor Hall and Jordan Eberle, both in RFA status, and you know, neither one of those guys, I really don't think, are going anywhere, because I mean, Jordan Eberle looks like he's going to be the next great Steven Stamkos-esque goal scorer in this league, and Taylor Hall, if the guy can stay healthy, has a boatload of talent. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins there. You know, I think the thing at Edmonton that they really have to take a look at is that, I mean, certainly Ryan Murray is a very talented guy, and I don't think anyone is going to deny that. But if you can be working with a trade ship like one of these guys, then it helps to bring in a lot of prospects that are probably a little bit farther along, a little bit more NHL ready than maybe, you know, some of the guys that they would get in the second, third round. I mean, the thing about Edmonton's cap situation is that they still have Alex Hemsky on the books for $5 million for the next 2 years. And a bigger contract albatross for them than that is Sean Horkoff, who has $5.5 million for the next 3 years coming in. So if they want to kind of alleviate the pressure off a contract like Sean Horkoff and kind of bring a Ryan Nugent-Hopkins to the fold as a definite one, you know, top-line center, re-sign a guy like Sam Gagner, re-sign a guy like Linus Omark, kind of hope that, you know, a guy like Magnus Piarvi develops the way that they want him to. If they want to do all these things, having a trade ship like Neil Yakupov or another one of these guys is just absolutely massive, and the turn would just be really, really valuable for a team that is trying to improve on the back end.
Mm-hmm. Andy, any chance that Columbus somehow finds a way to trade up and get Yakupov?
I mean, they are talking to about Rick Nash. I don't think Edmonton would probably, I don't know. Who knows? I mean, anything can happen, I guess. I mean, that's tough. I mean, I'm sure there's probably a lot of pressure for them to do that. But there is also a chance that they draft Ryan Murray, and I'm talking about Edmonton. There's been a few mock drafts where he's got number one, but maybe they get lucky. I mean, you don't know. I'm sure they would love to have Yakupov. I'm sure that would be the guy they'd want to go for, especially since, you know, they got Jack Johnson now. So, you know, they got their offensive defenseman there. But I kind of wanted to shift a little bit over to the Penguins. We talked a little bit about Matt Niskanen last show, and Penguins offered him a qualifying offer, got rejected. But that doesn't really mean anything. That's kind of required to kind of retain his rights. If you remember last year, the Penguins didn't offer one of those to Tyler Kennedy. Let him go to free agency, but he ended up re-signing after they got rid of the Jágr offer on the table. But they did do that. Niskanen rejected it, but that doesn't mean anything, really. Penguins are probably – well, they are discussing a multi-year deal. Do you guys think that this will get something done? I mean, it's hard to say now because – you don't really know what's going to happen at the draft. You don't know if you're going to get a crazy offer for Jordan Staal. You really don't know what's going to happen. So do you think that the Penguins are kind of put this on the back burner until after the draft, or do you think that maybe they need to get this done beforehand?
I think there's plenty of time to get it done. I don't know how far away they really are. I mean, just kind of being a little bit removed from the situation, I don't – think that's an incredibly low-balled deal for a guy like Matt Niskanen. I think if you bump it up to a multi-year deal, 2 or 3 years, that might get the job done. But it's all just a hunch, really. But I think he should be one of the top priorities for re-signing on his team. I think he showed with his first full year with the Pens that he was able to play well in the system. I thought he was one of the most consistent guys on the blue line all year for the Pens. And I think if you get the right deal for him, you got to get him signed.
Well, I don't think there's really any doubt in my mind that Matt Niskanen will get re-signed by Ray Shiro. I'm not sure when, but I would be very surprised if there's kind of any hold up on that deal. Not only because of his vast improvement from, you know, the moment he was acquired at the trade deadline to playing his first full season in Pittsburgh. And his first full season, once he had an off season to kind of get accustomed to the system and everything like that, he really looked fantastic. And I think you can make the argument with Orpik's aging and Chris Letang's injuries last year that he was really as a consistent defenseman as the team had all of last season. So, and the fact is, the guy's not very old at all. He still has plenty of years. You could even make the argument that his prime and his best days are still ahead of him. He's a former first-round pick, and I think he's got a lot of value. And hey, I think it's even funny that we're even talking about this, because when that Alex Goligoski deal happened, who knew that we would be talking about one of the Pens' leading goal scorers and the Pens' most consistent defenseman in talks of a return for a guy that I think most people deemed somewhat expendable in the Pens' system. So the fact that we're even having this discussion, I think, is a testament to how strong that Ray Shiro has been in terms of these types of things over the last few years.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, back then, all we're thinking about is Neil and, you know, just a good winger. And he turned out to be, you know, one of the best goal scorers on the team and a lights-out season. And Niskanen being one of the most consistent defensemen on this team. And a thing that was really telling to me was during his exit interview when Niskanen said, "I'm falling in love with this organization." I mean, you just don't hear guys say that a lot. And I feel like he really meant that. So I definitely think that they'll get something done with Matt Niskanen, because, you know, not only did he play well, but he seems to really like it here. I mean, like I said, you don't really hear guys say something like that to the media. So I'm sure we'll see Matt Niskanen again. And like you said, Joe, it's good.
Well, you do see guys.
What?
You do see guys make those kind of claims, like
a
certain Czechoslovakian winger last year. But hard to believe, though. Matt Niskanen, only 25 years old, one of the more consistent guys on the blue line this year. And I know Joe and I kind of shared the same thought last year. It was kind of a given that he was kind of the toss in on that deal, like, because they really coveted Alex Goligoski, but they're like, "Well, you got to get this contract off our books," kind of thing. And I know Joe and I looked at that and we're like, he's a pretty solid like player. And if he pans anything close to what like he was projected to do, that's going to be a huge steal for Ray Shiro and the Pens. And little did we all really know, like, we kind of had that hunch, you know, if he could project to do this, it could be a really just awesome thing, and little did we know that he would kind of be one of these more consistent guys in the on the ice there for him.
Yeah, well, once again, if you'd like to call in, the number's 347-202-0344. We're on the air about 16 more minutes live.
And 30 seconds.
Yes, and 30 seconds. So if you have an extra 30 seconds, go ahead and call us. We're willing to talk about anything, really, NHL draft-wise. Anything you want to talk about here is fair game. Yesterday there were some Jordan Staal rumors once again, so we're going to play be the GM here. He knew it was coming.
I know.
I think it offers a good discussion. The deal that was rumored it was from Carolina, which would include Justin Falk, Brandon Sutter, the 8th overall pick, and possibly a player for Jordan Staal and Paul Martin. Obviously, we don't know if that's true or not. Just a rumor. Don't take it too seriously, but I think it offers a discussion, because I'm sure we're going to be discussing this a lot, because there's going to be so much stuff coming out. But what are you guys' thoughts on that deal?
Well, that's not going to happen.
That's my thought. that's my thing too.
this is my thought on the deal, is that and
crazy.
This is my overall impression of Jordan Stahl, and this is something that I've been going on the record stating for years now, not even months at this point. Jordan Stahl, I fully expect to be moved to the left wing on either the first or second line after the season kind of went on. Would not be surprised to see him play top line left wing alongside Sidney Crosby this year. Have him going there. His offensive game has drastically improved. His skating has drastically improved. Really everything about the guy in the offensive zone has drastically improved. So I believe that he will see time in top six. If he is not successful at that, then I think that you could see his name brought up in discussions at the, you know, the trade deadline, his rights next year, this sort of thing. But I will be absolutely astonished if Jordan Stahl is playing in a different jersey starting in October. It's just not going to happen, because it does not make sense. The Penguins are still in a position to where they can make an immediate impact. Jordan Stahl is no foreigner to playing the left wing position. He has scored almost 30 goals at that position before. They can move him up there. If he doesn't work, they've got a huge trade chip. If he does, they can give him a James Neal plus contract, keep him here for the long run, and they're solid at the wing as they are at center. It just makes absolutely no sense for the Penguins to be shopping Jordan Stahl around, and it won't happen.
Nick? No, especially with time remaining on that contract, too. And you don't know what the CBA is going to look like yet. And there are rumors that the cap's going up to $70.3 million or something crazy. And there's just a lot of unknown right now, and I would be pretty cautious about shipping him out of town, unless you get something crazy, crazy in return. and that, like Joe said, it's not going to happen, I don't think.
What do you think, Ashley?
I'm with Joe and Nick. I don't think you're going to see him move, given the season that he had. And like Joe said, you're not going to know how good he can be until you give him a shot. And I'm with Joe. I totally think you're going to see him in the top six. My thing is, why do they keep trying to ship all these Stahl brothers together? Like, what's next? We going to send Mark down there too? And then
it's so we get rid of the Stahl drinking game whenever they
apparently. Yeah. But then, like, you know, you have to feel bad for those poor Carolina fans, because they're going to have to be drinking to figure out which one is which. Mm-hmm. You know,
yeah,
and it's not.
When they all have Jay Stahl on their name plate.
Jay Stahl.
There's only two Jay Stahls. Well, you know, that Jared would actually have to crock the NHL first, but.
Yeah.
You have to actually sniff the AHL first.
Yeah, that too. But no, I you know what, I read these things and you kind of get to a point where you just start laughing about them.
Yeah.
I'm just, okay, if that's what helps you sleep at night, go nuts. But at this point, it's not happening.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally agree. And like you were saying, Nick, still has a year left and plenty of time for them to throw him on the left wing, like Joe was saying. And he's had success there, too. But even looking at the deal itself, it doesn't really make much sense to me. You know, you're getting rid of Stahl, and then you're getting Brandon Sutter, who's basically your replacement for Stahl. That's a downgrade right there. Then you get Justin Falk, who is an offensive defenseman. Now, what was the reason why the Penguins lost this past year? It was because of their defense. So you don't want to put another offensive defenseman in there. You're looking for more defensive guys. Eighth overall pick, I mean, that's kind of an attractive option. I guess it depends on who falls to you there, but I don't know. It doesn't make much sense to me, and especially in the eighth overall pick there. Such a defensive draft. There's a lot of offensive defensemen. You might be getting another offensive defenseman if the Penguins continue their approach by taking the best available player. So I don't know. It just doesn't really make much sense to me. But we do have a caller on the air right now, so we're going to put them on. Tell us your name and where you're from, caller.
This is Steve Mazeski.
from Jefferson Hills, or Mako Man on Twitter.
Hey, what's going on, Steve?
Nothing. What's going on with you guys?
Oh, not much.
Same stuff, different draft.
Yep.
Yeah, different draft, different trade rumors of the day. Here's my question for you. Two questions related to the stall issue and then some of the stockpiling of defensemen. But the first question is, if you move Stahl to wing, is there anybody in the organization you see as a true third-line center, or does that become one of the needs that they have to address, maybe with the defensive prospects?
Well, Steve, I think that the third-line center option, or position, rather, has been a need for this organization for, you know, I think some time coming, and I say that not because of Jordan Stahl. I say that because I've been anticipating him being moved to left wing for some time, and I do think it's something that's going to be needed to be addressed in free agency, because with all due respect to Craig Adams, I think the fourth line position and his, you know, scoring stature or lack thereof kind of speaks for itself. I think Joe Vitale is a very quality player, but I think he showed you down the stretch that he's really not ready for a top nine position just yet. So I do think the third line center is going to be a really big position of need once July 1st comes around. I think it's something Ray Shearer is going to look at, and I think a lot of the connections that the Pens had to, you know, back at the trade deadline, they were connected to guys like Paul Gostad and players like that. I think that mm-hmm. definitely exemplifies that point.
Yeah, and Dustin Jeffries in that mix as well, too. And last year we were a little deeper within all that third line center talking, even with Mark Letest, too. And now that he's gone, that kind of gives it makes it a little more thin. But like Joe said, if that happens, I would expect Ray Shearer to kind of address that in free agency. There's a lot of people out there right now.
What defensemen do you guys see moving with Bortuzzo and Strait?
What was your second question?
Use it or lose. Second question was, which defenseman do you see moving? I mean, with Bortuzzo
okay.
and Strait, kind of use it or lose it. What? Who do you see them using as trade bait there?
Use it or lose it. Man, I would hate to see either of those guys kind of not be able to make a name for themselves in the NHL with the Penguins. Just both have really paid their dues in the organization. Both are really solid defensemen, draft picks of the Pens. But everything's just so tight right now. I don't know if Shearer stays pat. Like with Martin and McCulloch, these guys won't get a shot then. But it's just kind of really hard to say. They're really deep on the blue line, and either someone's going to go for a trade or someone's going to be kind of spending a little more time in the AHL.
I certainly don't want to sound like I'm ducking the question or kind of deflecting it, but the one thing that I would expect in the blue line moving forward is that either one of Derek Englund or Ben Lovejoy will be placed on waivers, I think. You know, come training camp, because I think you're seeing from the kind of urgency that Simone Dupre was placed in the season, mm-hmm. that the team is leaning towards putting him into a full-time role. And if he is able to do that, they're not able to move Martin, and or Mahalik, and Niskanen is re-signed to a multi-year deal. They're not going to carry eight defensemen. So I think Derek Englund and Ben Lovejoy, one of those guys, could possibly be on the way out if they're claimed by on waivers.
I hope it's Ben Lovejoy at that point. I like the toughness England brings for the $550,000-$600,000 he costs on that particular blue line. But that's why I do what I do, and Shiro does what he does, I guess.
It's going to be Stahl, Lovejoy, and Paul Martin for Alf Samuelson and Ron Francis.
There you go.
It's a great deal if this is 1994.
Is that deal that was rumored? Is kind of a joke, but I'll tell you the thing that intrigued me about it a little bit was the cap space it creates with, and if they wanted to use Falk as a moving part, that you continued to move on packaged with somebody. And I agree with everything that you said. If you can keep Stahl, you keep Stahl. The one thing none of us really know is, does Stahl want to be here in kind of a secondary role to the two-headed monster, and does he want to move to wing as opposed to moving on? And if you think the latter, do you listen to offers and try to maximize the value? And I'm a Stahl fan. I like Stahl. I might, dollar for dollar, like Stahl as much as either of the two big guys. particularly with the upside and the cost differential. But I think the big factor is, what does he want to do and how signable will he be after next year, given the role that he probably has here?
Well, I mean, I think it really comes down a lot to the contracts of Malkin and Letang. And, I mean, those guys are going to be heading into contract year soon. And I think what Ray Shiro does with them is obviously going to influence, you know, Jordan Staal. I mean, I think the thing that we really got to understand as Penguins fans is that this offseason and the next offseason are going to mold probably the rest of the decade for Penguins fans. They're going to be very, very influential on where, you know, the image of the team moving forward. So, you know, a lot of this sort of thing, I think we're really going to have a lot of big answers to the questions heading into, you know, probably I think they'll be answered by the beginning of 2014. I feel like we're in the last season of Lost right now, just wanting all these questions to be answered.
There's so much uncertainty. And I loved Brian Metzer this morning on Facebook posted Jordan Staal to five guys for an all-in burger, getting all 20 toppings, clinched it.
Man.
Hashtag trade makes sense. So I love that.
That's a good one. It's a good deal.
Five guys? Man, that's a pretty good trade.
And I said, were fries included? I mean, that makes break the deal for me, I think.
Yeah, their fries by far the best.
Very good.
I would straight up go Staal for the five guys fries. They're delicious.
Two rounds of bacon.
Especially if they come in that, like, that brown bag. It's kind of sweaty.
Either that or just for a In-N-Out burger out here on the East Coast, I'd take it.
Oh, man, goodness. I'm getting hungry.
I know.
Brian Metzer's fault. Brian's a great guy. Have him on the show a few times. We'll have to get him on the show again at some point.
If we get Ken Will back on the show again.
Yeah. Ken was in his car, I think.
He got hit by a... No.
No. Don't start those rumors.
Ken Will rumors.
Ken Will rumors.
Ken Will's well-being for a Five Guys burger get it done.
Oh, my goodness. Well, we got about...
He's actually listening to Nickelback in his car right now, so we have...
Photograph.
Five guys. On a bacon and the cheese.
Secretly awaiting the Ben Folds 5 reunion tour with Nickelback opening for him.
Oh, God. Why have one migraine when you can have two? Sorry.
Well, we got about 2 minutes left, guys. It's been fun once again. Getting back to the old grind here, Monday through Friday. Once again, like I said, we'll be on
grinding
Monday through
down.
Friday all week long to prepare for the 2012 NHL draft. I know I'll be at the draft. Nick will be at the draft.
Ken will be there.
Yeah, Ken will be there. Yeah. Ashley and Joe, what do you guys got going on for the draft here? Watching it.
I'm going to be one of those goobers where I sit behind the TV with my laptop, calling people on my phone and texting people nonstop. I'm going to be one of those guys.
I'm going to say telephone and TSN.
It's always fun. It's always kind of a memorable day, just like July 1st is. I seem to remember, you know, where I was during certain things. That's usually July 1st. But, man, it's going to be a fun time. I'm here in... Because we got about a minute left, and Ashley doesn't like July 1st.
It's like their national holiday.
Yeah.
Exactly. So you can't even celebrate your national holiday because...
Why?
You know, go for fireworks.
Team, yeah. If your team gets the player that, you know, kind of brings them over the hump, or just a guy that's really exciting to bring into your team, what better thing to celebrate, really?
Or like last year when your entire fan base was exploding with anger and preparing to go after a certain Czechoslovakian with pitchforks and torches.
We don't even say his name on the show anymore.
Forbid.
Refer to him. Yeah.
It's like
Forbidden.
The Village, but better.
The Village.
All right, well, that'll
but
do it.
But what better reason to get together and drown your sorrows?
Yeah. That'll do it for today's Pens Nation radio show. Be sure to check out thepensnation.com and tune in tomorrow, Tuesday night at 10 o'clock. We'll see you then.